We are KOWS Occidental, 92.5 FM, streaming on the web at kowsfm.com.
And my name is Bernie Steffen, and the name of this show is Ecologic. And today, I'm very excited about our show. We're talking with folks from Habitat for Humanity here in Sonoma County. We talk about home like it's a given, but in Sonoma County, more and more working families are finding anything but. So today we're asking, has home ownership slipped out of reach, and what does Path Back look like? Habitat for Humanity is working to create that path family by family. My first guest I'm going to introduce is Nick Passarell. She's homeowner services and volunteer manager. She works directly with families from qualification through ownership, and she's currently renovating a 1940s craftsman home. Nick, what pulled you into housing in the first place?
When I had the opportunity to become a homeowner myself, and I experienced that stability, I knew that it was something that I wanted to do. My past experience includes property management as well as a little bit of real estate. And I'm just so happy now that I can touch a deeper part of our community. I grew up here in Sonoma County, and I'd like to experience working with families and helping them reach the same sense of security and happiness that I've had being a homeowner.
Well, that's great. I've heard you speak before, and it's clear that you like your job, so that's a big plus.
Very much so.
All righty. And my second special guest here is Misty Bastoni, and she's the CEO of Habitat for Humanity in Sonoma County. She's third-generation Sonoma County resident, a background in development, finance, and housing programs. Misty, what drew you into this work, and what keeps you in it?
Well, thank you for having us here today. Much like Nick, I got such great satisfaction, my husband and I, when we were able to purchase our first home. The stability, the connection to the community, all of those things are tied into our homes and who we are. And I love the work of helping those that don't have the opportunity. And we provide the hand up. It's usually people that are so close. They've done everything they can to get to that point, and we just get them over the finish line. So it's incredibly rewarding. I got my real estate license in 2003 and worked as a real estate salesperson for many, many years, 15 years. And then I went into the nonprofit world. And I love that I get to be in both places and really make a change in my community.
Well, it's clear that you love your work also, so
I do.
I'm delighted to have both of you here in person. Let's talk a little bit about the people that you're helping. Maybe, Nick, what are people feeling when they come to your organization to inquire?
They are feeling like they want to be a homeowner, and they're not sure if they can. And they are looking for information to figure out how that can become attainable and what our homeownership program selection criteria is all about. And checking in to see if the steps they've taken thus far in their financial management and their vision of homeownership can come to fruition.
Well, one of the people most people think of when they hear Habitat for Humanity, excuse me, is Jimmy Carter. And he gave a face to it at a national level. Let me ask you, Misty, how much do you see support for this organization here in our county?
Great question. And yes, we hear often the first connection. People know the name Habitat for Humanity, and they most of them equate that to Jimmy Carter, who came on about 5 years into the being of Habitat, which started in Americus, Georgia. And he really launched us onto the national stage. We have a tremendous supportive community. Sonoma County is one of those places. I think it's ranked top for volunteerism in the state, one of the top counties, and we have a wonderful support system, both financially and through our volunteer programs. We have a tremendous wait list of people right now. We don't have enough volunteer opportunities for the people that want to roll up their sleeves and go and help change people's lives. So we're really fortunate here.
Excellent. Well, and people know that housing is one of the costliest parts of our lives. And here in Sonoma County, the homes are probably like twice the national average in terms of what it costs either to rent or to pay a mortgage. And, you know, it is something that is, we've got an average age here that's quite high. It's second in the Bay Area only to Marin County. I'm one of those senior people. And many of the senior people have owned homes for a long time. But there's a worry that in time, the younger people who are starting families and who are working in the trades or in the various jobs that are offered here. There's plenty of jobs in Sonoma County, but the question is, can they afford to live here and not have to commute in from Mendocino County or something? So talk about that problem a little bit. Nick, do you want to take it first?
Sure. Homeownership is becoming farther out of reach for young people, for sure. I have a youngster, a 20-year-old, and I worry about him maybe being a decade, 15, maybe even two decades behind getting his foot in the door. There's been a lot of research out lately that's showing that young people are having to wait a lot longer just to have the savings for a down payment. And sometimes when they're, you know, chasing a dollar amount for a down payment for a home, it's not keeping up with how much jobs are paying or the economy and how fast it's changing. And so, yeah, there's a true worry.
Yeah. So do you want to comment on the need? Yeah.
Yes. And so what we see from most of our families is the rising rents that have happened over the last decades have really made it so they don't have any additional in their budget monthly. It's really hard, as Nick said, to save that down payment. Even though they're being frugal, they're really trying to put away everything they can to get the down payment. It's really hard for them because the prices of homes keep going up as well as the rent. So they never seem to really get that moment where they've got the opportunity to save enough because it's always chasing a higher sales price, a higher rent. So there's really not a lot of bandwidth in their budget to really create that. And that's where we come in. Our buyers have a 0% down payment. There is no down payment. They do help build their home. It's what we call sweat equity. So they come in and they have to, in our current home, project, it's 500 hours of sweat equity. So that allows them the opportunity that it's not going to take them years and years and years to try to save the down payment, never to get there because of all the things I just mentioned. And so we size the mortgage that they're going to use to purchase. They're going to get a 30-year mortgage, just like any traditional buyer, but there's going to be no down payment. And it's going to be based on 30% of their income. So their principal, their interest, taxes, and insurance will all be in that 30%. So many of our home buyers are going to pay less for their mortgage than they might currently for their rent because they might be paying 40 to 60% of their income every month in rent is what we see.
Yeah, and clearly we're in a time now where the cost of living inflation keeps going up. I mean, we're having this surge in fuel prices, mm-hmm. So traveling a long distance is going to not be a good option. And the cost of food has been escalating. Mm-hmm. And so how do people juggle? But I wanted to ask something specific here that you mentioned. The underwriting of these mortgages is done by another institution, not Habitat, or does Habitat actually hold the mortgage?
That is a great question. So in the past, historically, Habitats have done their own mortgages. We were the originator of the mortgages. They were a 0% mortgage. About 15 years ago, most Habitats started using third-party lenders. It's just allows us, at the time of the sale of the home, we get the funds from that mortgage because it's coming from a third party instead of having it over 30 years. What that does, though, is we size the mortgage again, so the payment would be exactly the same as if they had a Habitat 0% mortgage. It's what we call a zero equivalent mortgage. So we do all the math behind the scenes. So they're paying that same 30% of their income a month. We just have partner mortgage lenders. We use USDA funds through the federal government. We've used local lenders like Redwood Credit Union, and a few others, bank home loans we've used in the past. And so it's kind of whatever's the best fit for our families at that time. So we have kind of a menu of choices. But yes, we would use a third-party lender to originate that loan. What we do, though, is then we stay connected to those homeowners for the entire length of their ownership. We are the stewards of those homes. So if they ever need anything, they reach out to Nick and say, oh my gosh, Nick, I'm confused about my property taxes. Can you help me with that? I'm trying to get the kids into a summer counseling camp program. Can you help? Do you have resources? So our families are always connected to us in multiple ways. And so we stay with them for the entire time. If they ever do want to sell the home, we have to sell it to another income qualified family. So they come to Habitat and say, hey, got a great job. I'm leaving Sonoma County. How do I sell my house? And then we help facilitate that. We qualify a new family just like we did for them. The new family doesn't have to build the house, but they have to go through all the same steps. And then we do the direct sale to the new family. And again, we're serving another income qualified family for the entire life of that home.
Great. And we're going to go through more detail on that in a moment. But I wanted to ask you, Nick, maybe have you experienced circumstances where families were in the program and maybe lost a job or had to, for another reason, back out?
I have experienced that. Unfortunately, one of our chosen families had to undergo a medical procedure that would have left them unable to work, and they weren't able to pinpoint how long they would be without their wages. And for that particular person, that was too much of a stressor to move forward with the process, even though Habitat had offered to work with them during this hard time. And so, I had to look into myself and think, okay, if this was happening to me, what if I was in that person's shoes? And it made perfect sense. So of course, there's still a family that's, in our data bank and yeah, might apply when the time's right moving forward. But that was, half of the family income, It couldn't be accounted for, and you can't foresee what's going to happen with something like that. So
that's going to be hard for you. I'm sure you establish a personal connection with these people as you're taking them through the process, right?
It was hard for me, and I wasn't working for Habitat the first time that this same family had applied. So this was the second time this family had applied for homeownership through Habitat. And it was sad because it was their decision.
Okay.
So hopefully we'll be able to serve them in the future.
Yeah. Approximately how many people reach out to find out whether they might qualify in a year?
We have a homeownership program interest list link on our website. And I get, 5 to 15 flags that somebody new has filled out our homeownership interest list, and just as many or more for our volunteer interest list. So we're set and ready to go. The next time we have a project that we want to announce, we have a database of those interested that we're going to reach out to.
Yeah.
So we have on average 40 applicants for every home we build, and that's without doing mass advertising. So when we are ready to build a new development, we do interest meetings. So we do go out to the community. We post with all of our other nonprofit partners in the community. We go out to places like the radio stations. We try to get the word out. And so when we do that, we have, you know, 10 homes. We'll have about 400 applications just for those homes. And so we know the need is tremendous. And as Nick was saying, we're getting calls, emails every week. How do I become a Habitat homeowner? How do I get on your interest list? And so it is a constant need. And that's when we're not doing our interest meetings. That's when we're not soliciting. That's just people that are just finding their way to us.
Yes. Indeed. Yes. I can see why people need it. And it's a shame that you have to, you know, winnow the group down. And so maybe this is a time to talk about what the qualifications are so that you can make choices about who is going to be next in line for an opportunity.
Sure. So three main reason or needs to qualify. So the first one being the family has to have a specific need. They have to have the ability to pay, and they have to have a willingness to partner. So all of our families sign a participation agreement, which seals the deal after they've moved all the way through the selection criteria. And it's a partnership agreement that allows us to work side by side to help them accomplish their sweat equity hours and all the steps to get them through the loan process before they get the keys to their house.
Well, I heard, Misty, you say about 500 hours of sweat equity. That's quite a bit. If you're earning and providing for a family and then need to do this on top of that, that's not always so easy. Does the sweat equity have to come from people that are in the trades or have particular building skills, or are there different ways that that can be met?
That it's such a great question because our homeowners, some do have skills, they come with skills, but most do not. Most, it's their first experience swinging a hammer or being on the build site. So we're general contractors. And so we have paid staff that are also tradespeople. We have our director of construction, who also is a general contractor. We have our site foreman, and then we have our crew leads. And so they're there with the families, and they are helping them do these tasks. And so sometimes it's you're going to sweep the floor because we have things that are too technical, things that require electrical, plumbing, roofing, HVAC. We have paid professionals that we bring in, but we have our homeowners and our staff do all those other things. And so the wonderful thing is at the end of this, they have these skills that make them tremendous homeowners. Because okay. when you need to fix the faucet, you've got the skills now to do it. And also, these families will build their homes with their neighbors. So when they move in, it's this wonderful community because the kids know each other. The parents know each other. They've bonded. It's usually about 18 months. So that 500 hours, it comes out to about 7 hours a week. And the families can have a percentage. It's about a third of their hours donated by friends and family.
I see.
So okay. We really invite. And then we have the community volunteers that are there working with them, too. And so some of those are retired tradespeople. Some are people that just want to come out and help their community. And so it's this beautiful mix of kind of everybody. It's the old-fashioned barn raising. That's where our roots are in like the 1940s. And so it's this beautiful thing that you build this community one weekend at a time. And most of our families are only out there on Saturdays. We do Tuesday through Saturday build schedules. But if they've got days off, if they've got an unusual schedule where they can come out during the week, we invite them out, and it's a long year and a half.
But it's flexible.
It is.
I like that.
Yes.
And
yes.
You're talking about new construction.
Yes.
Do you sometimes rehab older homes?
We have in the past. So we've been around since 1984, but years ago, in 2008 and 2009, when we had the massive real estate market crash. I was not with Habitat at that time, but they purchased three homes in foreclosure. They completely gutted those, redid everything, and they sold those to new families. And those families came and helped during that time. It was 6 months instead of, you know, a year and a half. So we've done that, and it's something we're always looking at. If someone wants to donate a house, or if there's a home, let's say a bank-owned home, unfortunately, that they had to take back, that's definitely something we do. And so it doesn't always have to be new construction.
Well, I like that idea, because often homes that are in that fixer mode get flipped to someone where very little equity actually goes to that previous homeowner, because, you know, they need to make a living in flipping that house.
Absolutely.
Those contractors are sort of like you folks, mm-hmm. but they usually have a fast way of doing it with standards that they're reusing. And I'm sure you have that same idea, so that you're not spending too much on appliances or upgrades, but you're getting the basic functionality into a home.
And so on that note, we have these tremendous partnerships because Habitat for Humanity is an international organization. So we're an affiliate. We're much like a franchisee. But through this international affiliation, we have wonderful sponsors like Whirlpool, who we get all of our appliances for free. They donate them for all of our families.
Oh, fantastic.
We get window coverings from... we get handles, door handles, the front, the interiors. We get certain things like lighting, plumbing, faucets. Moen is a wonderful sponsor. Lowe's and Home Depot are sponsors. So we get a tremendous amount that the average person wouldn't have access to. Even other affordable home builders, they don't have those relationships. Then we have our wonderful community volunteers, our tradespeople that give us, you know, all of the materials. We have a wonderful painting contractor who gets all of the paint donated. Our roofing contractor gets all of the materials donated for the roofing, all those things.
Excellent. And that's good for our audience to hear.
Yes.
And speaking of audience, if you'd like to chime in on this or ask a question, please give us a call, 707-755-9250 is the number. We have online, but we love getting calls here. So please chime in if this is interesting to you and you have some specific questions, or if you've had some experience here. Let me take the opportunity to say that I haven't had any direct experience with Habitat, but you're a well-known household word throughout the country. But in Petaluma, we had a rebuilding together once a year that I owned a Remax office there, and we contributed work parties, and we saw that the homeowners, mostly elderly, who couldn't afford to fix up their homes and when they needed would qualify, and then materials were donated, and then the work parties came out, and we as companies came and sponsored a home or what have you, and it was a lot of fun. And so it's a good way to package up community involvement, community helping other family members in our community, just like you as staff are doing that. Volunteers can have that same satisfaction. And I would encourage people to check out your website, or what other suggestions you have for helping out.
Well, we do very similar things. We have corporate build days. So if anyone has a company and they want to do a team building event, they can reach out to us. And it's a whole day where we, you know, there's lunch. It's a wonderful way to bring your team together and do a tremendous thing for your community. So that's definitely something we have as well.
Well, one of the little taglines I wrote down here is, this isn't just about enough money to qualify for housing, who does and who doesn't, because rents go up at the same time that the cost of housing goes up. So in a way, it's who gets to live here. And we can't become a community of only rich people, only wealthy people and retired people and who've had a long time to pay off their homes. We need working families to keep this community alive. And Sonoma County is a very alive place. And I think we all want to see it blossom. So this is one of the ways that we can definitely contribute to our community that I'm a big fan of. So let me take a pause here for underwriters who keep us on the air and contribute to our community. So let's hear from a couple of underwriters right now.
Kaz thanks Barrel Proof Lounge in Santa Rosa for their underwriting support. Located in the Brickyard Center at 501 Mendocino Avenue, they feature live music and comedy, as well as billiards, arcade games, karaoke, and more. Their website is barrelprooflounge.com, and they can be found on Facebook and Instagram.
Kaz thanks Rick Shubb at locally owned and operated Shubb Capos. Shubb has been providing musicians around the world with industry standard capos since 1974. You can find out more about this venerable Sonoma County company on their website, which is Shubb, that's SHUBB.com.
So, back to Ecologic. I'm Bernie Steffen, and this is like my seventh show, so I'm pretty new here. But I'm really delighted that I've got great guests here today. There's Misty Bastoni. She's the CEO. And Nick Passarell, who does all of the homeowner services and the volunteer manager. It sounds like you're the most important cog in this wheel, and that both the applicants and the people you serve and the volunteers, you do all of that.
I am wearing two hats right now. Correct.
Yeah. So what's your day like?
My day is, it's changing every day. Can you hear me okay?
A little closer. Yeah, that's good.
So right now, to circle back, and this will make sense in just a second, but when you had asked the question about sweat equity hours and how are families able to complete those 500 hours, and doesn't that seem like a lot, I wanted to just let everybody know that there are some other ways that our families are earning sweat equity hours as well. And part of that is our financial classes that are required. So each family sits through a series of six financial classes. So that is something that we did right after they were all selected. But right now, I'm working with all of the families to collect homeowner insurance quotes. And so the time spent doing things like that will also count as sweat equity hours, as well as tracking the hours they've spent out there. We have a family member that has quite a hefty list of folks that they know that they want to go through the safety trainings. All of our volunteers that head out to a build site to work and support and give donated hours to our families, they do have to go through a habitat safety training. So part of my day includes making sure they've all filled out their release and waiver forms as well as completed that training. And then when our site foreman or our director of construction has a specific task out at the job site and wants to invite community volunteers, I'll reach out to those folks that have shown interest to see what their availability is and if they'd like to come out and help. So it's ever changing depending on the flow of the construction, depending on where we're at in the loan application process, because as Misty said, this process takes anywhere from 18 to 24 months.
Wow.
So there's a lot of hurry up and then wait, up and then wait. And so just helping the families navigate through that time and being there for them and then coming up with creative ways aside from the required hours at the build site where they can earn their sweat equity hours.
It seems like the sweat equity hours are a good way to fill that time from when they qualify otherwise to when the project is ready to be moved into.
Yes.
Do you deal with the fact that you may have more qualified applicants than there are homes available? How does that get resolved if that happens?
I would say that's the biggest challenge right now everywhere in high-cost housing markets. It's something that I don't know if it's going to solve itself anytime soon, but this is what we're doing here in Sonoma County to try to tackle that issue.
Well, is there like a lottery or something to differentiate who actually is the lucky one out of the group that qualifies?
So as we mentioned, there's I'm going to give a little more detail at this point.
Good.
So as I mentioned, all of our homeowners, they have to have a need. They have to have the ability to pay, and they have to have a willingness to partner. So I'm going to go a little bit more into detail on these things. So for a need, first of all, the very first selection criteria is that the families for our projects are going to be earning anywhere between 60 to 80% of our local average median income here in Sonoma County. And that average median income number is updated every year in the spring. So it'll be changing again soon.
What is it now?
For 60 to 80, for a family of four, the 60 to 80% AMI is $90,600 to $120,900.
So that's the annual income they need as a family.
Now, for a family of four.
Family of four. So if a family of two qualify, or do you need to have kids here?
A family of two could possibly qualify, and that average median income, the 60 to 80% range, is currently $72,480 to $95,750.
Okay.
A year. So right out the gate, that is a need. So if you're in that income bracket for your family household, number one, that shows that you have a need that you might not be able to purchase a house at the current market
rate.
And then part of that need is also that you're living in, it could be possibly substandard living conditions. So a home or a rental that's in poor condition, overcrowding, maybe there's more than two people per bedroom. You have a rent burden, as Misty mentioned before. You're paying over 40 to 60% of your take home pay to rent, so that's considered a rent burden. All of our families must be a first time home buyer, and they must have lived in Sonoma County for the last year.
Okay.
So that's kind of just the general.
Yeah.
Is this who you are?
So, yeah.
Because for this project, that's our Habitat homeowner and family. And
do they have to be earning, like have their job in Sonoma County as well, earning their income here?
They have to be living here.
Okay.
So if somebody commuted out of town or out of the county for a job, they have to reside here.
Okay, but they could work in Marin or San Francisco and do the commute.
Correct.
Okay.
So second, we go into ability to pay. So first we have need. Now we're moving on to number two, selection criteria, bullet point, ability to pay. So each family's monthly income must be sufficient enough to make the mortgage payments. So that's the 60 to 80%, and that's what we're basing the mortgages on. They have to have 2 years of income in a current field of work. So that doesn't necessarily mean that they couldn't have made a job change, but it has to be in a similar field of work.
Okay.
They have to have a minimum credit score of 640.
Okay.
No current liens or judgments on anything. Debt must not be excessive. And we use the 41% debt to income ratio percentage. No bankruptcy or foreclosure within the last 4 years. A consistent payment history for revolving credit accounts. And then applicants must be legal U.S. residents or have permanent residency status.
Excellent. Yeah.
And then lastly, just to get to number three, we have the willingness to partner, which we mentioned before, which is the 500 sweat equity hours, the agreement to attend homeowner preparation and financial education workshops, as well as to take part in public events on behalf of our affiliate.
Yeah. I mean, I want to contrast. It all sounds very reasonable and safe, because even when you're renting most of the time now, they want you to have an income that's three times what the rent is. That's a challenge.
Absolutely.
I think a lot of people live where more than half of their check goes to rent. Then a large portion goes to food and some to transportation. And then if something comes along like an illness, it knocks them off their feet. I mean, we're living in very precarious times, so it's really a challenge to meet what are reasonable standards, even for you. But you do help people stay in the program if you can, correct?
Yes. And to follow up what Nick was saying and Bernie, what you were asking, how do we decide? So all things being equal, we've got 40 people per home that apply. About 50% of those usually will kind of fall out of the process either by one of those qualifications. Maybe their credit score isn't quite high enough, or their income is either too high or too low. And then we get it down to those other 20 that are left behind, and everybody's qualified for that house. We don't have enough houses to serve the people that are qualified. And then, yes, it goes to a lottery. And so it's one of the best phone calls Nick will get to make to that one lucky family for each of those, let's say, 10 homes we were using as an example. And then the other 19 calls, 190 when there's 10 homes, are the worst calls to make.
Do you make those calls?
Nick hasn't been here since we have had that portion yet. We already had our four families for our current development in Sebastopol, but we will spread that across the team because that's a really heavy thing to do.
Yes.
And so, of course, we wouldn't want her to do that. We send out letters. We have to be very official, but that's something I would want to receive a call on if my hopes were up. But we tell our families, reapply. So our next development, you're not done. You're going to stay on our interest list.
Okay.
And we've had some families that applied two or three times before they were selected.
So you keep hope alive.
We manage hope very delicately because hope is a very fragile thing. So we don't want to get them too excited about the opportunity because they might not be the one selected, but we want them to keep trying because then someday they may be the one. And those that don't qualify, like the credit score wasn't high enough, we have our financial education classes. So we would assist you. We don't just say, so nice to meet you. Good luck with that. You become part of the Habitat family. If you want to participate, we will try to help you get to that next level. So next time you're going to be successful, not because of your credit score or one of the other income factors. We're going to try to get you to be there. So,
well, it does feel like you provide more safety and peace of mind because someone on their own going to a mortgage broker can feel being managed or, you know, like, am I actually getting the best deal here? Absolutely. Or even working with a realtor may feel like they're just wanting me to buy right now and when maybe I shouldn't be. But you do represent a voice that they can trust.
Absolutely. We call it they're our partners. They're our partner families. We are
yes.
in partnership with them. And some will embrace that. Others just say, thanks so much. I gave it a try. I'm going to move on. But those that are wanting to engage with us and partner with us, we are here to try to help lift them up in whatever way we can.
I'm going to ask you about some of the projects in a moment. But first, I'd like to remind people who could be callers, write down this number if you don't already have it, 707-755-9250. I'll repeat it one more time, 707-755-9250. Now I'd like to take another quick break to hear from some underwriters.
Cal's Radio thanks Cloverdale Connect for their continuing support. Cloverdale Connect delivers their free newspaper every month to homes, businesses, and post office boxes in the greater Cloverdale area. And they are available online as well at cloverdaleconnect.com.
Cows thanks Fawn Necton of Open Door Insurance Services, a family-owned and operated insurance agency providing solutions based on product knowledge and expertise in personal, business, specialty, and nonprofit insurance. You can reach them at area 707-874-2666 or on their website, opendoorins.com.
And this is EcoLogic on Cows Radio, and I'm Bernie Stephan. And in case you missed the introductions, my two guests from Habitat for Humanity in Sonoma County are Nick Passerell, who does the homeowner services and the volunteer management, and Misty Bastoni, who's in charge of it all. She's the CEO. So I'm very lucky. We're all very lucky to hear from them today. And let me thank you again for being here. Could you give us an example? You mentioned Sebastopol Project. Do you want to talk about that?
Sure. So currently, we are building 4 townhomes in Sebastopol, right on North Main Street, across from Safeway. Those homes went under construction in November after about 3 years of process to get us there. And then they will be completed around September of this year, of 2026, and our new families will be moving in.
I think I saw something there by the Masonic Lodge.
Yes,
there.
Right next door.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great location.
It's tremendous.
You can get to the public transportation. That's becoming more important, isn't it? As gas prices go up, commuting costs, if you can not
Absolutely.
Have those or to that degree.
Yes.
And walk to places to shop, et cetera. A downtown location is kind of premium.
It is. And we look for walkability.
Yeah.
Obviously, any lots that become available to us, which are that lot was donated by the family that previously owned it. The gentleman who had owned it for, I believe, 30 years passed away, and his children donated it to Habitat. And so we get land through donations. We purchase land. We do developer partnerships where the developer who has to do their affordable housing component of their development, they'll partner with Habitat and essentially give us those lots. We build the homes and then we serve our families. So we will take it any way it comes to us and we'll put it to good use.
I'm curious about the size of each unit, like square feet and bedrooms. And do you match that up? Like if it's a family with 4 kids plus 2 adults, you're not going to put them in a 2-bedroom, are you?
You have such good insight, Bernie. Yes. And so the homes there, they're all 3-bedroom, 2-bath, and they're about 1,350 square feet, which is the average for our 3-bedroom, 2-bath. But we definitely look at family size. And so we follow HUD standards. So it can be no more than 2 people per room. And one in the living room, which is somewhat odd, but that's how HUD comes up with it. So if we have a 3-bedroom house, we could serve 7 people in that house. And so we try to size it to the family size. But we've had families in the past who had 5 children, and they were perfectly happy to put 3 in one room and 2 in the other because they got affordable home ownership, and they made that work. And so we've built throughout the Sonoma County. We've built in Hillsburg, Cotati, Grayton, Sebastopol, and Santa Rosa. Thank you, Nick. And we are currently in our pipeline right now, have projects that are in discussion in Windsor, Petaluma, and Roanoke Park. So we're really excited. That's going to get us to even more cities we haven't built in yet.
So how many units in Sebastopol? And then tell us a little bit more about the Windsor, Petaluma, and what was the third one?
The third one was Roanoke Park. Yes.
Yeah, I'd love to hear a little bit about those projects.
Absolutely. So the ones in Sebastopol currently are 4 townhomes. That's the first time we've done attached townhomes. And so the ones in Windsor, we purchased that lot in 2017, and that will be 16 homes. And then we are in partnership going through the process with a developer in Hillsburg, and that will be 10 homes. And then we just started a conversation with another developer in Roanoke Park. We don't have the contract signed. The ink is not dry yet. So we're still in conversation, and that would be 3 homes in Roanoke Park. And again, a similar project in Petaluma with another developer. We're just in the conversation stage. That one's very early on, would be additional 10 homes. So that seems to be our trend. Lately, we did 2 homes in Grayton that were also a developer partnership. So we love that because we're working with other professionals in the industry, and it's been a great way to get more housing.
All of that to come. And in the meantime, we also might be working on a rehab or 2 each of those years while these other developments are coming to fruition.
Yeah. So having a constant stream of new development is important, and you've got to manage that carefully. so that you're not overspending on any properties, right?
And perfect. Yes. We don't want to overextend ourselves, but we always have to have things in our pipeline. Because as you know, Bernie, construction could take anywhere from we identify the property, we get ownership or partnership, and it might be 2, 3, 5 years for that to come online. So we're always having these conversations. We're always trying to make sure we can forecast out a few years. And so as we finish up Sevastopol, we'll be ready to slide into the next one and so on. And as Nick said, we are going to have one of our long-term homeowners, our very first one, passed away. And so there's one of those homes in Santa Rosa that we will be rehabbing and selling it to a new family. And so we have that in the works. So we're just always... I'm talking to anyone and everyone who will talk with me about what's our next project, where can we partner?
So it's clear that the applicants and successful, they wind up owning the property. However, there's a restriction deed on the property that allows you to, be the first purchaser of that property?
Yes. We have first right of refusal on all of those. And as I mentioned earlier, all of our homes are resale restricted. They have to be resold to another income qualified family. So we might build a house and over 100 years, we might serve 5 different families in that house. And so I always say when people donate to us or they contribute their time and energy to build, we recycle that. They don't have to donate or build again. When that family's moved on, then the next family moves in and so on and so forth. So it's this recycling of that time and energy. So every family connects with Habitat when they're ready to move on. And then that next family comes in and they get the opportunity.
I'm assuming there are no homeowner associations involved with condos or townhomes?
Not at this time. It's definitely something we've looked at. It depends if we're going to do high density on some of these lots that are infill right downtown, like you said, that are walkable. It's definitely something we would look at if we can get enough units in there and it makes the most sense. We get density bonuses as affordable housing builders. So it's not a no, but we just haven't approached it yet.
Oh, I was just listening to Misty speak, and you had asked or had commented that it sounds like we really like our jobs. The fact that our Habitat homes stay in the affordable housing market under Habitat Sonoma County is one of the reasons why I love to be here and do what I do, because I know that when a family that we've gotten into a home leaves, the cycle is just going to continue here locally for another family. And while the housing market continues to increase, we're keeping these homes safe, well-kept, and in our community at an affordable price.
Well, yeah. And I think you're also moving in the direction of not having too many square feet for the number of occupants. I mean, we've got a lot of older people like my wife and I living in big homes, and that was affordable at one point, but no longer will be or is. And so living smaller is part of what you're aiming at.
Absolutely. And on a personal note, I have 3 children that are adults now, and I have 2 daughters and a son, and my son and his fiance just bought their first house. And it was built in the 70s. It's 1,122 square feet, 3-bedroom, 2-bath. Their whole neighborhood is that way. It's a great entry-level neighborhood. We don't really see that in the market rate because it's very expensive to build. And so builders have to build bigger so they can make their money back on the sales price. So we kind of fill that need as well. We're doing entry level size homes, as you just said, Bernie, small, compact, has everything you need. And so we're trying to give those young people a chance, and not always young people. People are buying at all different ages for the first time. Actually, the average purchase age in Sonoma County is 49 years before people get to purchase their first home on average.
Wow. Yeah.
So it's all different ages, but having that entry level, small, perfectly sized home You don't have to heat as much. You don't have to furnish as much, all those things.
Well, when you said don't have to heat as much, they're energy efficient. And if you rehab, all the standards are such that, you know, they're a big improvement over most of the rentals that are available.
Absolutely.
Most rentals I see, you have a big PG&E bill because the tenant pays it. The owner's not incented to put the insulation in the walls.
Absolutely.
Or replace the glass windows, etc. So we're moving in a direction that is necessary to keep the cost of living in these places under control as well.
Another amazing thing about our homeownership program is that once our family members move in, once they get that key to their home, and they've qualified and, you know, everything settles, we want that family and we encourage that family to grow if they'd like to grow, to work their way up in their career, to get raises. Yes, they had to be in the 60 to 80% AMI to qualify for our homeownership program. But once they're in and they have the security of being a homeowner in a Habitat home, we want them to flourish. We want their income to double. We want their kids to go to school. We want all of these amazing things to happen. And then on top of that, knowing that if they make it and they do outgrow their home or decide they'd like a bigger home somewhere else, also knowing that that house, that home stays in our Habitat inventory.
I was wondering if you'd like to share a story, a success story of a family that exemplifies sort of living these benefits that you're just talking about.
One of my favorites is a homeowner. We've only sold two of our homes in 28 years, or sorry, in 41 years. So Judy Munyaya was one of the homeowners I got to know when I came on to Habitat in 2015. And she was an immigrant from Kenya, and she had two young daughters. And when she arrived, they lived in a house, a three-bedroom house with two other families. They rented a room. And Judy worked her way up, got a job working as a medical assistant, and then found out about Habitat, purchased her home, got the stability. Her daughters went on to do tremendous in high school, got scholarships to college, and they're both now working as doctors. And so when Judy was ready to sell her home, she met a wonderful man here in America and got engaged, and they got married, and he already owned his own home. So she was so excited to be able to give the next family that opportunity.
Oh.
But it was because every time she got a raise or had the stability of having a fixed mortgage, she could provide that for her daughters. And so she helped them with their college fund. They were such tremendous students that they received scholarships through. But she did help pay for their medical school, and they're thriving. And she's still here in Sonoma County, and this new family has been there since 2017. And so, again, it just recycled that over and over again. And that's what we see. Once there's the stability, and you said earlier, if there's an emergency, medical or otherwise, a lot of our families, when they're renting, they just don't have the extra income to cover those. Once they have their 30-year fixed mortgage, their incomes hopefully increase. They are able to save for their retirement, for their children's school, for those emergencies, for better education, higher education for themselves. And we just see them, their educational attainment, their health outcomes, all of those things are improved through stable, affordable housing. It's kind of this magic sauce that just helps families thrive.
Well, that's really a good story. I love a good story like that. It's very heartfelt, and we can all appreciate sort of how that makes us all feel about how your organization and the community as a whole is coming back to help people. What maybe this is the last question. People listening can engage in many different ways, and you've mentioned some, but let me ask you again. I know you have a store that you sell things from. Maybe give us a couple more ideas of people listening who want to help, like besides going on your website and checking that out, what can they think about doing?
Oh, we have our retail outlet store, Restore, located not far from our offices. It's Airway Drive, correct?
1201 Piner Road.
And we have a dedicated restore volunteer coordinator.
Is that near Harbor Freight?
Yes, right behind it. Thank you, Bernie, for that.
Thank you. Sorry about that. Yes, 1201 Piner Road. And we have a dedicated restore volunteer coordinator. Her name is Sydney. So if you'd like to give back, Restore is always looking for volunteers in our store. If you have, electrical experience, perhaps you might find yourself wanting to spend a couple hours in our lighting department. Or if you, like cleaning things up and rehabbing furniture, maybe you'd like to volunteer in processing or just general upkeep and organization. So there's a lot of volunteer opportunities at Restore.
And as a consumer, if you have not been into Restore and you like a good treasure hunt, it's 29,000 square feet of home improvement from cabinetry to flooring to lighting to toilets to sinks to furniture to collectibles. There is everything. I have to stay away because it's just too enticing for me. I always have to buy something. But it is. You can come in looking for anything and find something you never knew that you needed. But it's another wonderful place for people to plug in. They can donate. We do have a donation scheduler. So if you have items you'd like to donate and would like those picked up, you can reach out to Scott. And then we have a drop-off donation yard. So it is a great place. A lot of places in Sonoma County that you'd like to donate items to do not take furniture and some of those more household items. Habitat Restore does. And so come in, check it out. It's a wonderful place, and it's a wonderful place to volunteer. We have volunteers that have been there for 15 plus years. We call them our tinkerers, and they come and they fix. And they have this camaraderie and this group of folks that have just become lifelong friends through this volunteer opportunity.
Fantastic. And you serve all of Sonoma County. So you were talking about Healdsburg. You probably serve Cloverdale and
all
out to the coast, West County.
We even go into Marin. That's the one thing we're allowed to do is go into Marin for donation pickups because our sister affiliate doesn't have a store. So, but yes, all throughout the county, anywhere that you are, just give us a call.
Is there one misunderstanding that people have about Habitat that maybe you would want to air here and correct?
I've heard in my shorter time with the affiliate from a couple folks that they thought Habitat homes were free aside from the sweat equity. And that's definitely not the case. All of our Habitat families have worked really hard to get themselves where they are to be able to purchase a Habitat home.
Well, that's very important because there's a pride of ownership in all ownership, and you keep that alive in people so they can be proud of what they're doing.
Absolutely.
Well, with that, let me thank the two of you very much for coming in here today and doing this show with me. I want to thank the listeners for listening in. And in 2 weeks, I'll have another show, and I hope you'll tune in then. And let me just final comment here saying that, home ownership isn't just about the housing. It shapes who gets to stay here, who gets to belong here, and what a community becomes. And in Sonoma County, that story is still being written. So goodbye for now.
Take a walk on the wild side, and the colored girls say, do 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 do. Tremors of your mind in the spasms. storms of your life rolling in like thunder. Peace was in the day, and promises fell like summer rain. You reveled in your southern way, now you're boiling over. Now you're wild as electric wires, glass teeth and a windy smile.